Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, brothers and sisters, and I just want to welcome you this evening to Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. We'll start with a word of prayer, and we will begin right away because our presenter, Brother Cherry, will start at 7:30 sharp so that he may have enough time to speak and do his presentation, because at 9 o'clock, the line just cut off without warning. So let us start with a word of prayer. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Kind and loving Father, we thank you for this day that you have set aside for us to come before and to praise you, to glorify and magnify your name. We ask that you will forgive us of our sins, our trespasses, and our iniquity, Lord. Bless us and help us to seek you more and more as we see the days drawing closer, closer to the time of the end. Oh, Father, we don't know what it's going to be like, but we're asking you to protect us, to shield us, to keep us from falling and present us faultless before your coming. Be with our children, those that have grandchildren. Be with our friends and family, our neighbors, Lord, our brothers and sisters near and far. Please bless them and the effort that they are doing to hasten your coming, Lord. Please be with us as we worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Bless our testimony, our prayer, our singing, our sharing of devotion and scripture, and also learning and sitting at your feet as we study to show ourselves approved. We thank you, and we just bless you, and we glorify and magnify your name at this time. Also the speaker, Lord, fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord, as he prepared to present before us, O Lord, a spoken word from you. Bless his family also, and protect them and guide them in that they will continue to be steadfast in the work that you have set before them. Even us, Lord, direct us and show us, Lord, the things that you will have us to do at this time to share with others and tell them about your soon coming. We thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen again, brothers and sisters. I'll share a quote from Spirit of Prophecy, but please press 1 if you would like to share in a song, a quick testimony, so that I can open your line as soon as I'm finished sharing this quote. Amen. It says, the church may appear as to fall, as the shaking of God blow away multitude like dry leaves. May that not be our fate. Amen. And this is taken from Last Day Event, chapter 12, at paragraph or page 180.1. It says, chaff like a cloud will be borne away on the wind, even from places where we see only flows of rich wheat. Soon God's people will be tested by fiery trials, and the great proportion of those who now appear to be genuine and true will prove to be base metal. When the religion of Christ is most held in contempt, when his law is most despised, then shall our zeal be the warmest and our courage and firmness be the most unflinching to stand in defense of truth and righteousness. When the majority forsake us to fight the battle of the Lord, when champions are few, this will be our test. At this time, we must gather warmness from the coldness of others, courage from their cowardice, and loyalty from their treason. And this is also taken from Last Day Event, same chapter 12, paragraph, page 180, paragraph 4, and also found in the Testimony for the Church, Testimony 5, page 136, and the year is 1882. So brothers and sisters, let us stay strong. Let us be connected to the true vine, and let us be faithful no matter what. I heard a brother said, once you're a Christian, you have to expect to go through what your master went through, what Jesus went through. We ought to expect to go through the same and call upon him to give us strength, to give us endurance to overcome the trial, because heaven is worth everything. As Brother Mozart Shear, one soul saved is worth billions of universe. So God is invested in your salvation, brothers and sisters. He loves you so much. So I'll go ahead and open the line for the first caller that has pressed 1. Again, go ahead and press 1 so that you can get a chance to share, because at 7:30 sharp, we'll go into the message. And I just want to welcome you. 518-482, happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Thank you, Sister Carla. Happy Sabbath to all online.
Amen.
This is Antonelli from upstate New York. Sabbath is always a happy, happy time. This little children that I used to teach, this is Sabbath is a happy day. I love every Sabbath. And where God's people meet, we should always be happy. And I like this song, but I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to speak to and repeat 2 words. It says, Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there behold thy mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. And we know wherever Jesus, we meet with Jesus, it is holy ground. It said, great shepherd of thy chosen few, thy former mercies now renew, and to our waking hearts proclaim the sweetness of thy saving name. And I love the song. I love the song that says, sweet the time exceeding sweet, when the saints together meet, when the Savior is the theme, when they join to sing of him, sing the song's amazing love, how he left the realms above, took our nature and our place, lived and died to save our race. Sing we to the Spirit with our stubborn hearts he strove. journey. Jesus still will be the same. They shall always, Lord, offer him. Yes, like I said, this week was a bittersweet week because we have to place one of our loved ones, but we one of our loved ones, my sister-in-law, and it wasn't a happy time. It was a sad time, but you know, we are living in a world of sickness and sorrow and death and all kinds of confusion. So this evening, I just want to lift up Jesus, give him the praise, because I am still, and not I alone, we all who are in this line can see, we are still on this side of life. And I'm going to lift up, I'm going to sing this song, Lift Him Up. Okay, I think there were two verses. Lift him, I said, lift him up to see the face you let the dying look and live. To all weary, thirsty sailors, living waters will he give. And the one so meek and lowly, yet the prince of heaven. And the blind who grope in darkness through the blood of Christ and sin. Lift him up to risen Savior, all you made the throne. Lift him up to see that speaketh, now he bathes you free from wrong. Lift him up, this precious Savior, let the multitude behold. They must be to seek him, he will draw them to his fold. They shall gather from the wayside, hasten on the joyous feast. They shall bear the cross of Jesus and shall find salvation sweet. Oh, then lift him up and sing him, lift his Savior up and cry. He's a glorious Redeemer, all the sins of men did bear. Yes, the young shall bow before him, and the old their voices raise. All the deaf shall hear his sonnet, and the dumb shall shout his praise. Lift him off the risen Savior, high amid the waiting throne. Lift him off the seat of it. Now he bears you free from wrong. What a wonderful
Amen.
Opportunity is to lift Jesus up, because when you have Jesus in your heart, you know, the struggles in life will seem like nothing. You wouldn't feel it because you have Jesus in your heart and he gives you that joy to keep going on, pressing on. And, you know, Jesus is calling all of us, all of us. He's calling each one of us. And this song says, Jesus calls us over the tumult of our life while restless. Day by day, his sweet voice sung it, saying, Christians, follow me. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain and golden store, from each idol that would keep us saying, Christian, love me more. Because, you know, today there are so many idols around us, so many things we could get entangled with, and we make them idols in our lives. This evening, mm-hmm. I'm just imploring people to seek Jesus, call upon him in our joy and in our sorrows. Days of toil and hours of ease, and you easy to down relaxing. Still he calls in cares and pleasure. Christian, love me more than these.
Praise
Jesus
the Lord.
Calls us by his mercies. Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thy obedience. Serve and love thee best of all. And this is my encouragement to my fellow brothers and sisters on this line this evening. Jesus is calling. He's calling. And you do
Amen.
Not know what time he will call you. As we put away, as I put away my sister-in-law this weekend on Tuesday. She was buried. And it was so sudden. It was a shock to everybody. But this is how life is. And we have to live soberly in this present world because we do not know when come. So this evening, I just want to say anything more because there are many on the line who want to say something. So I'm encouraging us to let Jesus be our best friend and always keep him, lift him up in our life. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Happy Sabbath to all.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Consonelli, for coming on and sharing and your songs and your testimony and just encouraging word. Happy Sabbath to you and your family. And we will all go through a trying time. So it is now for us to be strengthened, for us to encourage each other and to be encouraged with the word of God so that when the test has come at us or when we're going through this trial, we will remember to call upon God. As in Philippians 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who? God. And the peace, yes, and the peace, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So Christ can give us peace, and he can renew us, and he can keep us. Amen. So I'll go to the next caller. Again, press 1 if you would like to share. We're allowing 3 minutes. We're going to start at 7:30 so Brother Cherry can have enough time to speak. So please press 1 so that you can share in your testimony. 225-337, happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. I want to give God praise by reading this Isaiah chapter 12. Call I like to read 1 through 6, and I'll just take my few minutes here. And it says, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thy anger is turned away, and thou comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation, and I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the well of salvation. 4, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doing among the people, make mention that his name is exalted to the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel. In the midst of thee, I just want to thank God and say praise to his name. It's nothing but God is his love and his power is continuing to work in us. So I want to thank him for this Sabbath day that I have seen, that I see. And I just want to say God bless and I love each and every one as God continued to be with us through the night. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. And I just want to thank everyone for your prayers. Sisters and brothers, let me tell you something. Your prayers got me through and helped me to make it. So I just want to say thank you once again. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola, for sharing. She, too, lost her son. But we just praise the Lord for her faithfulness and her continual dedication to serve God and to continue to help those that are still in the land of the living so that they can come to know Jesus as their Savior. So thank you, Sister Leola, for coming on, and thank you for sharing and being an influence to your families and those around you. Please press 1 again if you would like to share. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. This is sharing time. I'm allowing 3 minutes to share. If you would like to share again, please press 1. That will indicate to me you would like to share a testimony, scripture reading, or you have a prayer request, or you would like to offer a word of prayer. This is the time we come and we talk of God's goodness and we share in his love. 225-281, happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Happy Sabbath. This is Sister Nelda. Happy Sabbath to everyone. I just want to thank the Lord for all the blessings that he's given me. And today, especially today, I was driving and I was looking for an address. And I wasn't familiar with the address. And I had the GPS on. And I don't know where this lady came from. But this lady came across the crosswalk out of nowhere. And I looked down for a second to double-check my GPS to make sure that I was going to the right location. And when I looked up, she stopped, and she was right in the street. If the Holy Spirit hadn't, oh, my goodness, if the Holy Spirit hadn't caused her to stop and me to look up just when I did, I don't even want to think about what would have happened. I probably would have hit that lady. And I just thank God. When I pray, when I get out, we got to continue to pray when we're driving, because we just don't never know what attack is coming our way. And I was driving, and I always pray before I go out, but it just really shocked me, because she came out of nowhere. And I mean, just a split second more of her walking toward my car, and a split second of me not looking up would have made the difference. I probably would have hit the lady. So I just thank the Lord that he protected us both in that situation.
Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming on and joining us, Sister Melda, and thank you for sharing in that testimony. We know that our angels are with us, and God hears our prayer. Me too, as I, get in a car, I will pray and ask God for his protection upon me and the neighbors, because people are, driving crazy, and as in your case, walking, and some people aren't their mind is gone and they're just doing things and they're not conscious of what they're doing. So we have to be very careful and watch out for others, because that would have been terrible, if you would have done that. It would have been a trying time for you. So we just thank the Lord for protecting you and also the individual. Because Satan, he's trying to take out people at any cost, and he, he doesn't care who it is. So let us give thanks, Sister Nelda. Amen. Anyone else would like to share, please press 1 so that I can open your line. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Your testimony is not too insignificant for you not to share, or just to tell God, thank you for waking me up this morning. We ought to praise God because he gave us breath. He woke us up to praise him another day and to glorify him, because we belong to him, brothers and sisters. We are not our own. And we just have to remember that we have a loving Savior who have done everything possible to save us. So it's up to us to make the decision to follow him. And I was listening to some testimonies today, some powerful testimonies. Probably share it after Sabbath, how a person from the New Age, first he was atheist, and he was seeking the Lord, and he joined the New Age movement, and, just giving his testimony how the Lord saved him. And I was listening to another testimony about Mormon. I see them, but I don't know what their practice is. And these two mother and daughter came out from the church and just telling about their practices. It's more like the Catholic, practice. And it is like, wow, so shocking. And, this it's good to know these things when these people approach you, and to ask them and to share with them the truth, about God. And, we're just to be witness for others. We have a special work here as Adventists, as Christians, to witness those that don't know the truth, or their practice is not according to God's will. you know, I'm not sure if the Mormons are reading the Bible, what type of Bible they're reading, but some of their practices, like praying for the dead and just doing all type of ritual, is really deceptive. And I was shocked when I was listening to their testimony. So, again, press 1 if you would like to share your testimony, or if you have a prayer request, go ahead and press 1 so that I can open your line, and I'll just read this quote before we go on. It says, God's people keep his commandments. God has a church on earth who are lifting up the dumb trodden law and presenting to the world the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There is but one church in the world who are at the present time standing in the breach and making up the hedge, building up the old waste place. Yes. Let all be careful not to make an outcry against the only people who are fulfilling the description given of the remnant people who keep the commandments of God and have faith in Jesus. God has a distinct people, a church on earth, second to none, but superior to all in their faculties, to teach the truth, to vindicate the law of God. My brother, if you are teaching that the Seventh-day Adventist church is Babylon, you are wrong. And this is also, this is in Last Day Event, page 43.3, and Testimonies to Ministers and Gospel Worker, page 50, 58, and 59, and it's written the year of 1893. Amen. So we are a special, peculiar people to God. So I'll see if there's any more hands, any more testimony. Please press 1 if you would like to share it in the testimonies, because we will go into prayer. The speaker will come on at 7:30. So again, my brothers and sisters, if you would like to share, please press 1. I see Sister Powell has joined us. I'm not sure if she wants to speak. I'll just open her line, or if she wants to give us a word of prayer. 518-951, your line is now open.
Thank you, Sister Carlo, for opening my line. Happy Sabbath, my dear beloved brothers and sister. I just want to give God thanks for all that he has done. God is so good, my dear sister. You know, I'm saying he is moving. I have an experience today with some men who was doing some work next door from where I am. And eventually they stopped work and they came down, and we started to share, you know. I don't remember how the conversation go, but we started to share about the Sabbath, you know. And after sharing with the Sabbath, there was someone of the guys said, any day can be the Sabbath, right? Can be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, too. So I'll show them what God has done from creation and what he said, you know, and also the Ten Commandments. And after sharing that with them and let them know that God is a God that is in order, and he is a God that is holy, and he had created the heaven and earth and everything, and he had given the world this Sabbath for them to be obedient to it. And after talking to the guys, and one of them said, you know what, you know, that is really true, you know, because God is the creator, and he is the one who said we must remember the Sabbath, and he blessed the Sabbath when he created. So I am so thankful to God that, you know, the message, you know, is have been going out, and there will be people, as we have been studying, will some will accept and some will reject. So they were asking me about the mark of the beast, and I let them know we don't have the mark of the beast is not yet in force. But anytime I told them what the mark of the beast was, that it is a Sunday worship from the Sabbath that God had created, And I explained to them and let them know God is still calling and God is pleading through his children to be obedient to God. That's the reason why he gave us the Ten Commandments and want us to follow it. And my dear beloved, the argument was really interesting. And those individuals who did not know something, they did not know that the Sabbath, you know, could be any day. And they think that when people worship on Sunday, they were following God's command. So I thank God that I was able to explain to them and share the love of Christ with them and encourage them to go and study the word. So I'm asking this evening to pray, even though you asked me to pray, just to pray and ask God that these young men study the word for themselves and know that what God said, we should be obedient to his law. All right? I don't know if you want me to pray now, sister. Call us as your prayer report.
Yeah, I have one more quick testimony. She pressed one, but it didn't show. She just texted me. So after she share, I'll ask you to press pray. If you can pray, please.
Okay.
Uh-huh, thank you. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for sharing. Praise the Lord for you testifying to those gentlemen about the Lord and the true day of worship, because many people, you know, don't know. And, you know, it's right there in the Bible, but yet they don't know, or from tradition or upbringing, they have been taught otherwise. And that's the trick of the devil. So, you know, let us continue to pray for these people and to be a witness to them. So I'll go ahead and open the line for 617-792. Good evening. Your line is open. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Amen. I'm very happy to be here. And I know for the sake of time, I don't want to take too much time. I just want to sing in a scripture song, if I may. It is from Matthew 5:3-12. And it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they the mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Matthew 5:3-12. I just wanted to share this scripture for you guys and to say happy Sabbath to all you. And very happy to be here to hear my hermano Teresa speak. Be blessed and happy Sabbath.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Ruthie, for that very powerful song and scripture message. Very, very nice. And I'm going to be practicing it, and I pray my brothers and sisters enjoy it. Amen. Happy Sabbath, my dear Sister Ruthie. Amen, amen. And also to your family and your daughter also. Now we're going to go into word of prayer. Sister Powell and Brother Cherry is here, as we will give him enough time to present. The last time it was a little technical difficulty getting on the line, and then the line end abruptly at 9 without no warning. So we want to avoid that. So I'm open Sister Powell line so she can give us a word of prayer. Thank you again, my brothers and sisters, for joining us. Amen. Your line is now open, Sister Powell.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sister Carla. My dear beloved, now is the time we can all have the opportunity in praying. So we just asking you if you bow your head and we can just offer a soft word of prayer, silent word of prayer, and then I will just a minute, right, come in. Most righteous and eternal Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, we just want to thank you for this blessed Sabbath day of rest. We want to thank you for our brothers and sisters who join at your welcome table, that give praise and sing songs unto your word, Lord, and to cheer each other. We just want to give you thanks for that. We want to thank you for the many testimony and praise song, scripture song, Lord Jesus, that was rendered, dear Father. And we want our dear sister to know how much, Lord, we appreciate her on the line and also her song. Continue to bless her and her family. Continue to keep, guide, and protect each one of us, Lord, on this line. Lord, we're so thankful for what you have done during the week. And as we come to this day of rest, Lord, to sit at the welcome table to receive your fresh bread from heaven, dear Lord, we ask you to pour your sweet Holy Spirit upon each one of us so that we will be moved with the Spirit. And when we hear from you, dear Lord, we will be willing to share what we heard. And also, dear Father, to lift you up and to give praises and honor to you. So we just want to thank you. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, these requests. You know each and every one of us needs, each and every one of us family members. Lord, we just come to you boldly to the throne to depend upon you, because you told us in your word, you are our burden bearer, and we will cast all our burden and all our cares upon you because you cares for us. So we just want to thank you for those promises. Now, dear Lord, we lift up our speaker, Brother Cherry. Continue to use him mightily, Lord, and allow your words to reach the heart of every one of us, and that the Holy Spirit will abide with us this evening. And even things that we are not doing right in your sight, we ask you, Lord, to forgive us and allow us to follow your truth. Bless us this evening, we pray. We love you, Lord, and keep us so that we will keep our mind and our heart upon you. Thank you for hearing, and thank you for answering our prayer in Jesus' loving name. With thanksgiving, amen and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Powell. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for that song. That prayer. And thank you, Sister Ruthie, for that song. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for your presence here on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. And also thank Brother Cherry for coming on and presenting to us this very important message. This is part two. He will continue part two, as he didn't get a chance to fully do it last Sabbath evening. So I'll go ahead and open Brother Cherry's line. Please have your notepad, your spirit of prophecy, and your Bible. And at the end, if we have time, you can have questions or comments. 715-491. Good evening and happy Sabbath. Your line is now open. You might be on mute, Brother Cherry. Is this
Can you hear me now?
Okay, we can hear you now. Yes.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
We
I'm
can
sorry.
Hear you.
I had it on mute. I thought it was open at the green. But, oh, it's open now. Like, oh man. Okay. Well, good afternoon, good Sabbath, everybody. Depending on where you are, it could be morning, night, or noon, and whatever it is, For those of us who are in the United States, it's, of course, Sabbath, and I'm happy. I was talking to a brother of mine, he's a brother in Christ, of course, in Kenya. And early today, he said, it's Sabbath here already. And I'm like, oh, man, you beat us already. That happens every week, though. And so I feel a little bit envious of him. But it's our turn now, and now he's gone to bed, so he'll be up in about a few hours. It'll be daylight for him. Isn't it amazing how we can have Sabbath at different times and yet still enjoy the beauty of the Sabbath? It's amazing. Well, friends, I'm happy to be back and thank the Lord that we're able to be here. I'm sorry about last week. I didn't know that it shut off. Plus, I spent too much time in the introduction. I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm going to kind of go back just a little bit of what I did last week for those who weren't here so you can get caught up to what I was talking about. And also as a refresher, and then I'm going to go forward and finish up, okay? But I'm really not going to finish because there's so much that I want to share with you, and I cannot do it in this short period of time. And so what I'm going to share, I'm going to try to condense it down a little bit. Actually, it's going to be a lot. And I want to again offer you, and only one person took up the offer that I gave last week, and that is the subject matter that I'm dealing with. I have a two-part DVD on it. It's called The Alchemist, Witchcraft in the Churches. And it's all documented from original sources. It's nothing that someone's hearsay or anything like that. It's the actual documentation to prove what is being presented. And it is a responsibility of God's faithful people to give a warning. It'd be as watchmen on the wall. So when you see the enemy coming, you should be raising your voice in alarm. And if it's already in, you ought to be fighting against it to get it out. I read a statement in the Spirit of Prophecy says that, but only a few of those who profess now to believe the three angels' message will at last be sanctified by it and saved. And the reason why, and I'm going to read the quote a little later on, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it now. The reason why that's true is because most people do not want the responsibility of warning their brothers and sisters of the danger that is present around them today. And this is very sad because failure to do that, you will not receive the seal of God. You know, I often ask people this question, what is the seal of God? And they give me this pat answer that most people give, and they simply say, it's the Sabbath. And I mentioned this last week, and I said, and you know, yes, it is the Sabbath, but there's more to Sabbath keeping than just going to church on Saturday, the seventh day of the week. There's more to it. In order to receive this seal, to prove that you are a Sabbath keeper, you have to be engaged in Sabbath reform. And if you're not engaged in Sabbath reform, you cannot be a true Sabbath keeper. What do I mean by Sabbath reform? That's a part that I'm not going to be able to get into, but let me just put it to you this way. Read the story or read the book of Nehemiah and what he did on the Sabbath day. Read what he did. And Illinois says that we need to be like him. And I mentioned that last week. Okay, so before we get started, let me have a prayer with you. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to continue what we started last week. Lord, and I pray again that you will please speak to your people. Lord, I just want to let you share with them whatever you have in mind. So I'm asking you, please, to allow me to be your vessel. Allow me to be the mouthpiece, not my own thoughts, not my own words, not my own opinion, none of that. Lord, just please, just speak to your people tonight. Give me the words you want me to say, the references, the quote, the scripture, everything, so that nothing will come from man, but will come from heaven. In the Holy Spirit to enlighten our eyes and our minds and soften and subdue our hearts that will be receptive to your truth. And Lord, I know that some of the things they're going to hear are going to be very hard. Some of the things some people are going to want to get off the call. They don't want to hear it. And I praise you for that because that it brings conviction to hearts. And when hearts are pricked, when the truth is given, sometimes we have to walk away. We can't handle it. But I pray that if that is the case, that it will not leave their conscience until they make a surrender, until we all make a surrender to you, that we will be the Lord's come what may. This I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord says to his people in chapter 18, and it's something we're all familiar with. The Lord says in verse, starting with verse 9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. The Lord told the children of Israel plainly, so that there would be no doubt in their mind, no need to question the things he did not want his people to get involved in. He made it quite clear, and later on he even told them that if you do these things, he would take them out of that land. He would scatter them among the heathen, and they would become their servants. We need to heed this counsel. It is very, very important. I know some people are saying, well, we don't do stuff like that. Brother, what are you talking about? That's for the worldly people, you know. But that's, God is not talking to the worldly people here in the scriptures, my friend. He's talking to you and I. Okay? We have to make this very clear. He's talking to you and I, because we are, at least we like to think we are, the modern Israel of today, as it was back then, so it is today. God still has that same standard for his people. We're not to engage in any form of occultism, spiritualism, witchcraft, demonology, New Age. We're not to have anything to do with that stuff whatsoever. Notice it said observer of times. That's, you know, that's talking about astrology. You know, people saying, oh, I was born this month and my sign is such and such, so let me go see what my horoscope says is going to be my future today. What's going to be my blessing? What's going to be my great thing that's going to happen to me? Or I can't date you because you're a Sagittarius and I'm a Libra and we just don't get along. You know, Libras and Tauruses, they're better, but nah, you know, you're Leo and Leos don't get along with the other signs. I don't remember what they all are anymore. But there's 12 of them, which, interestingly enough, the 12 signs of the zodiac are Satan's copy, or I should say his pitiful substitute for the 12 tribes of Israel. Did you know that? That's what it is. You see, when Jacob was dying, he calls his sons in, and he gave them a description of their character. And we also know that on the 12 gates of the city of God, that has the name of the 12 tribes on top of them. And we're told that each of us will enter into the gate of the tribe that we represent. And remember, he told them what their characters was like before he died. And the devil said, oh, I got my 12 too. And so he came up with the zodiac sign and those signs. And that's what people go by today. And sad to say, they don't understand the danger behind it. And it's also sad to say there are many, many, many Christians who believe in that stuff, and they'll tell you they don't. They say, it's just for fun. I really don't believe that stuff. Then why in the world are you reading it? Because the people who actually practice this, they believe in it 100%. And when you get involved in that, it leads you down the path to hardcore occultism. It is one of the entering wedges. We have to understand what spiritualism really is, and most of us do not know. If I was to ask you, what are the basic tenets of spiritualism? What are the basic foundational principles? I dare say there may be one or two people on this call who might be able to tell me. The rest of you probably won't. And that's not a criticism. That's just an observation. And the reason why is because most of us don't think about it, whereas it is something that we have been warned against over and over and over again. And because we have not heeded the counsel, because we have not made ourselves wise unto salvation, we can be deceived and practice these things and not even know it. And that's what I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you tonight, friends, that so much spiritualism has entered the church that people have no idea what they're really engaged in. Not a clue. A brother just sent me a video of some Pathfinders having a, what they call an investiture. Yeah, I think that's what it's called when they get the little badges, you know, when you accomplish a certain task, you know, there's certain things you learn, you get these little badges on your sash. And I was a Pathfinder. In fact, I still have my Pathfinder belt when I was 14 years old. I still have it. I'm surprised I still have it. I found it when I was moving about 4 months ago, and I'm like, I still have this thing? You know, but I can't fit it. It's too small. I was young and skinny back then. But I still have it. I remember my Pathfinder days. And I was watching this video and what they were doing. And I said, wait a minute. What are they doing? This is not how you're supposed to do that. And what they were doing, and you tell me if you think you see anything wrong with this. They were lighting candles to advance or whatever a messenger in the Pathfinder process. They had all these candles on a table. It must have been almost 50 of them. And they were lighting these little votive candles. And someone said, why are they doing this Baal worship, this Babylonian system? And people said, you're so critical. Why are you saying this? There's nothing wrong with that. And I'm thinking, apparently these people do not know what candle lighting has to do in a religious setting. Nowhere in the Bible does it say anything about lighting candles or anything that God's people do in terms of a spiritual exercise or practice. But in the pagan world, it's often done. In fact, in Great Controversy, it even says that one of the things the early church did in terms of their beginning of apostasy was bringing in the lighting of candles. See? And people don't understand that it is a beginning process, once again, of getting involved in spiritualism. Now, friends, it should come as no surprise to us because even in the book of Acts, did you know that the early Christian church, there was an incident that took place that the Christian people were deceived. The people were deceived until the truth came to town. I call it when the truth came to town, then things were changed, okay? And this is found in the book of Acts, chapter 8. You've probably read this before, and I want to read a little bit of it. And I want to explain a little bit of it. Then I'm going to go ahead and I have two audio tapes I want you to hear. I let you hear one last week, just part of it. Well, I did. You heard it. But I need to play it again so you can hear it. And then I'm going to play the second one, okay? And I need to go back and play the first one again because I need to put it in context for the second one that you're going to hear. And you're going to be shocked, I tell you. You're going to be shocked when you hear the first one, too, if you forgot what it was. Oh, as I was telling you about the DVD that I have, or CDs. Now, friends, I've been sharing this information for almost 40 years, okay? I started doing this in the late 1970s and early 1980s when I started doing this. I was teaching at the Adventist Academy in San Diego, California, which is where I am from. After I graduated from Loma Linda, I went back home, and I taught there for a few years. And as I was in the classroom, the students would come in, and they had on these T-shirts from various rock groups with this symbolism all over them. And I said, I don't want you, if you can at all possible, not wear those things in the classroom. It was a Bible class. I was a Bible teacher, but I also taught other subjects too, but Bible was my main responsibility. And the student said, why can't we wear this? Nothing wrong with it. I said, oh, yes, this is bad. These things are terrible. You don't want to wear that stuff. Well, how do you know, Mr. Cherry? I said, well, I mean, look at it. It can't be Christian. I said, well, why don't you prove it to us? You know, don't just say it. So I was challenged to have to go do research. I started going to the public library after work to give information. And I began to do research, and I started finding out things, and I go back and tell the students, and friends, you know what happened? Those students said, I'm not going to wear this shirt anymore. And some of them would put something over it. And then they also had their little notebooks. You know, they used to buy these little paper notebooks that you could buy for at school, at a store for school work. And they had also covers on them too. You know, they had pentagrams on them. They had the, you know, devil symbols and all that stuff. And they started getting convicted. And then they started asking them, Mr. Jerry, what about the music? And so I did research on that. And then they just kept going and kept going. And they said, well, can we study the Bible, what it says about that? And I said, oh, sure. And so they said, oh, can we study the book of Revelation? And I said, sure. And it just so happened that particular year was Revelation was the main Bible curriculum for the Pacific Union Conference. And so we began to study it, and all the students said, Mr. Cherry, is there a book we can read that kind of helps us, you know, really understand what's happening in the last days and stuff? I said, yes, there's a book called The Great Controversy. Oh, yeah, my parents got that at home, but we never read it. I said, oh, would you like to read it? And they said, sure. So I went and bought Great Controversy for every one of my classes, a little small paperback, and I used my own money. I didn't use my classroom budget, and I got in trouble for doing that. They told me I wasn't supposed to do that, and I said, why not? It's part of the school. And I said, you don't use your own money. You use the classroom budget. I said, no, this is something extra, and I don't mind doing it. It's not a problem. But nevertheless, I got reprimanded for that. But the students began to study. And the interesting thing is it wasn't just the Adventist students. The most avid students who really wanted to learn were the students who were not Seventh-day Adventists who went to our school. A couple of them, most of them were Baptists. There was a few Catholics. There was one young lady, she was a Greek Orthodox. And a lot of these children, these were middle school kids that I taught back in 1981. Okay, 81, 82, up until 1984. And some of them still talk to me today. As a matter of fact, one young man that was a senior my first year, I just got a message from him today. He messaged me back and forth. He just came back from Vietnam and Cambodia and Laos and Southeast Asia. And he's telling me about his son. His son just graduated, is at Stanford University, working his doctorate degree on artificial intelligence and language and all that. I mean, it's highly complicated. And he was the youngest person ever to be entered into Stanford Medical School when he was 16 years old. And he's retired now. And, you know, it was interesting that I talked to them. And these young people always tell me, Mr. Chair, I've never forgotten the things you taught in class. And in fact, the things you taught us back then, way back then when I was a teenager, this stuff is happening right now. I said, yes, I told you, didn't I? I said, do you remember that? They said, yes, it's amazing. Now, listen, friends. Listen. So what I wanted to share with you is that God's word is true, right? And young people want to know the truth. They do. A friend of mine just called me the other day and said, Brother Cherry, you need to redo your videos over again, better sound. And he said, I want to help you do that. I said, great. So anyway, the bottom line is I've been making these videos. I started way back then. I actually produced them in 1993. And people are telling me today that they seem like I just made them just a few days ago or a couple months ago. They said, how did you know all this stuff was going to happen? I said, I didn't know. God revealed it. If you just study his word, if you just read what the Spirit of Prophecy has to say, you will know. It's not a mystery. It's right there. The Lord tells us, and then all you have to do is look around what's happening in the world, and you will know what these things mean, you see. And this is why a servant of the Lord says that when God's people, what she said, if we would study the books of Daniel and Revelation, she says, believers will have an entirely different religious experience. Or she goes, when the books of Daniel and Revelation are better understood, then the people will have a deeper religious experience, you see. And the problem is we don't study them like we should. And with the group that I have here, my little town I live in, there's a couple of families that are not Adventists plus my family. We are studying the book of Daniel right now, and you should hear what they say. Oh, man, I didn't know this. I read this before. I never caught that. I said, me either. I'm just getting it. Now, let me move on. So I said all that to say this. Let me read to you from the book of Acts, okay? Acts chapter 8. And I'm going to go down to it's talking about Philip, verse 5. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. You see what happens when the gospel comes to town and when the people of God do the things that God commanded them to do, there's great joy. But the Bible says, verse 9, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, friends, the Bible is telling us something very important here. And I don't know if you caught it. And many times you may have read it. I don't know if you ever caught it. But let me try to explain it from my point of view, from the way I see it, the way the Lord revealed to me. Here are people who thought that this man was exercising the power of God. He was not. The Bible said he used sorcery. What does that mean? The word sorcery, according to Revelation 18, verse 23, but also can be found in your concordance, that word sorcery is pharmakia, which is where we get the word pharmacy from. And the definition is casting a spell by the use of potions or drug medication. This man was giving people drugs that was putting them in a spiritual spell, so to speak. Okay, not so to speak, in reality he was. That's why it says he had bewitched them for a long time. So he was, and they said, this is the power of God. Just like today, you have people saying, oh, you smoke marijuana, man, you're in touch with God. You know, you take this drug. What's that stuff they're down in South America they're doing now? They go down there and they smoke this stuff, and they do some of this freaky, they just go freaky out, and crazy stuff. They have hallucinations of animals and just bizarre stuff. And they come back, I almost had the name of it. It's some kind of drug. It's very powerful. And people, rich people, especially a lot of celebrities are going there and paying to do this thing, to take this stuff. And the guys come out, you know, and they say this is a spiritual thing and all this kind of stuff. And they feel like, I'm really connected now to the universe and with the earth. And, you know, my consciousness has expanded and I have so much more knowledge now. And they don't realize their brain has just shrunk probably half the size that it was before, because now they're locked up by the devil. And remember, the Bible says in verse 11 that this man had bewitched these people for a long time with sorcery, okay? He had bewitched them. They were not under the power of God. The drugs had taken control over their minds. Friends, we need to stay away from drugs. According to the Bible, that is sorcery. If you look up the word, it also says witchcraft. That's a definition of it. This is why God's servant told us that drugs never cure, and that we should learn to use God's natural remedies. There's only one way that heaven approves, and that is by following the eight laws of health. Now, you might say, well, Brother Terry, I have to have certain drugs, I have to have this and that. I understand that, but you ought to be trying your best to find out what you can use as a substitute. I tell you, I have a blood clotting factor. It's called Leiden factor 5. It is a real hereditary issue that people get, that they are prone to get blood clots. I've almost died twice from blood clots, okay? One night the doctor told me I would not survive the night. New Year's Eve 2001. He said, you're not going to be, tomorrow morning you'll be dead. I had this blood clot. It was a big one. I mean, it's like 16 inches long and thick as a Twizzler licorice candy. 16 inches long. My leg was like three times its normal size. It was swollen like crazy. And it was so much intense pain. They had to give me morphine and said, all we can do is give you morphine and you're going to die. And I've also had two strokes because of these clots. And I couldn't figure out why in the world am I having these problems out, you know. And they did test. They took my blood and sent it to a Mayo Clinic. And they come to find out that it's hereditary. And the doctor said, but this is the thing about it that's odd. It's only found in Northern Europeans. Now, friends, if you know who I am, you know good and well I'm not Northern European. I'm African descent. I'm African American. But I do have Native American in me as well. Both my great grandmothers were Native American, you know. And one of my great grandmothers, my father's side, she actually walked the Trail of Tears with Chief Joseph from Florida to Oklahoma. My father had tribal membership with the Choctaw Nation, and I can get it if I want to too. But that doesn't answer the question of how I got this blood clotting factor, this Leiden factor five, which they tested and said he's got Leiden factor five. And doctors, he said Northern Europeans are the only people who have that. No other ethnic group has it but Northern Europeans. I said, well, sir, you guys made a big mistake because I'm not Northern European, as you can plainly see. He said, well, you got some in you. I said, no, I don't. There's nobody in my family that's what we would call Caucasian, whatever. He said, oh, yes, you do. You just don't know about it. I'm like, this guy is a nut. Well, I come to find out a week after I had this experience, my father died. The day I was supposed to die from a clot, I survived, but my father did die from a blood clot the same day. So I flew out to California, to San Diego, for his funeral later that week, which the doctor told me not to do. But I told him, there's no way in the world I'm going to let my father be buried and I don't go out there and support my mom and my brothers and sisters. I was the oldest surviving sibling at the time. Well, I still am. So while I was there, my auntie asked me, could I come over to her house and set up her computer for her and plug, get it hooked up on the internet, because that's what I did for Radio Shack. So she had a book there. She said, take a look in this book. I looked through it, and I said, auntie, you got a picture that doesn't belong here. And it was a picture. It was about taken in like the 1880s, 1890. And I said, you got an old picture in here. She said, that's a family photo album, you know. It's been handed down from generation to generation. I said, well, there's a picture that doesn't belong in here. She said, what is it? I said, you got a picture of a white man in here. And she went, oh, yeah. Well, just to make a long story short, it's my great-great-grandfather. He's from Ireland. My great-great-grandfather Richardson, that's where I got the blood clotting factor, okay? So they said, you got to start taking a certain medicine, otherwise, or this drug, or you're going to have blood clot, you're going to die. You know, I said, oh, so I said, okay, I guess I got to do it. So start taking it. And so I did some research on it because it made me feel terrible. I always felt like I was just out of it. This stuff, you know what it was? Rat poison. Rat poison. I kid you not. It's rat poison. I went and looked it up. And so, I went to the pharmacy to get some. I said, let me go check something. So I went down the aisle in Walmart to the section where they sell rat poison and, stuff like that. And I looked at the contents on the box. It's the exact same stuff that I was paying $60 for. I could have bought it for $3.25 down there at the pet food, pet session. I said, oh, I'll just take this because it was with oatmeal and stuff in it. I said, just cook that and eat it. Save some money. So I went to the pharmacist. I said, isn't this the same stuff that you're giving me? He goes, well, yeah, but it's a therapeutic dosage. I said, but isn't it poison? He said, you can't look at it that way. It's a therapeutic dose. It's for your health. I said, but poison doesn't heal you. Poison kills you. You're looking at it the wrong way. I said, sir, that's what it is. You can't change what it is just because you're charging me more money for something I can buy cheap. And so, you know what? I said, I'm not taking it anymore. So I called around. I found somebody who told me what to use. So I started using God's natural remedy. And since then, and that's been, my granddaughter's 17. The last one I had was a couple years before she was born. So it's been almost 20 years, and I'm not taking that stuff. And I don't take it. And when I was taking it, I still was getting clots every once in a while. So, friends, we need to leave that alone. These people were bewitched because of drugs. I wanted to mention this. Now, you see the deception? They thought it was the power of God. And so many people today still think the same way, that these things are God, and they're not. The Lord has specified what he wants his people to do to be healthy. Listen, let me read something to you. Volume 5 of the Testimonies, page 477 says, do not forget. That's a strong warning. Do not forget that the most dangerous snares of which Satan has prepared for the church will come through its own members who do not love God supremely or their neighbor as themselves. I'll read it again straight through. Do not forget that the most dangerous snares which Satan has prepared for the church will come through its own members who do not love God supremely or their neighbor as themselves. Do you get that? the most deceptive, the most dangerous snares that are set to destroy God's people are not coming from the world. We all want to talk about the Sunday law. We want, and it's true, we need to, don't get me wrong. But you know where the Sunday law is going to come from? It's going to come from within. You're going to be told to keep it from within. You know that, don't you? Certainly, the Lord makes it very clear. She said, men will stand up in our pulpits with the torch of false prophecy in their hands, kindled from the hellish torch of Satan. She also says, they will stand up in the open air and in the cabinets and urge the people to the necessity of keeping the first day of the week. This is from our pulpits, not the world. See, and people don't want to hear that. And here's the biggest problem. When you bring these things to people's attention, they don't want to hear it. They get mad and say, you're just putting the church down. You're attacking. No, you're not. You're pointing out what's wrong that needs to be corrected. When a child does something wrong, a true parent who loves their child will tell them, stop doing that. And if they don't stop, then you have to discipline them. Sometimes it's very mild. It's only necessary to just say, okay, you can't do this anymore, or take away a privilege or give a timeout. And if they persist, then like my father would do, he'd give us a 45-minute to an hour lecture first, which was really, really rough. It made you feel like you were 2 inches tall. Not that he ridiculed you. He just showed you how bad what you did was. And then he spanked you. Then he'd say, okay, now, have you learned your lesson? Yes, sir. I'm never going to do that again. My father loved us. I have no doubt in my mind. And I told him that before he passed away. I said, Daddy, I want to thank you. Thank you, you gave me, because it taught me a lesson that there's a price to pay for disobedience. And Christians don't seem to understand that. They think they can do whatever they want. They're once saved, always saved. That's a big lie. See, you think they can get away with do whatever they want just because they say, I believe in Jesus. That is, God give you license to disobey God. And that's what happened with the children of Israel. Because the incident that I just read to you in Deuteronomy, what they did, because remember, the Lord, Moses told the people, he told them in Deuteronomy 18, he said that they had offered their children in the fire. You know what that means? I think I told you last week. It meant that they actually burned their children in these giant idols to Baal. And then they ate the bodies. They barbecued their children and ate them. This is also found in Psalms 106. You can read it right there. It says they ate the sacrifices of the dead. People say, oh, that means they just sacrificed a bull or something like that. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about their children. They ate their children, okay? These are the children of Israel, not the worldly people, not the Canaanites, not the Hittites, not the Hivites, Amorites, and all of them. No, that was the children of Israel copying those people. And you know what those people said about the children of Israel? You guys are sick. Your God has told you a better way. And what do you do? You're copying us. You guys are, you're pathetic. They hated them because they knew that they had the truth. These people were trying to find the truth. And what did the children of Israel do? Instead of standing for what was right, they went what was wrong. What does that have to do with today? Let me show you something. Let me read this to you. This is taken from the book Patriarchs and Prophets. And friends, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to read. Write this down. This is a chapter entitled Ancient and Modern Sorcery, my friends. Ancient and Modern Sorcery. It's in the hardbound book, it's usually page 688 through 689. Okay? It all depends on what volume you get will determine what page it is. If you get the paperback ones that were printed around, this is taken from Pilgrim's Books. This is by Vance Farrell. His pagination is a little bit different. But you want the chapter, Ancient and Modern Sorcery. That's the one you want. And the last three paragraphs you want to read. And let me read this. Quote, Satan was determined to keep his hold on the land of Canaan. And when it was made the habitation of the children of Israel, and the law of God was made the law of the land, he hated Israel with a cruel and malignant hatred and plotted their destruction. Through the agency of evil spirits, strange gods were introduced. And because of transgression, the chosen people were finally scattered from the land of promise. Now listen to the next line. This history, Satan is striving to repeat our day. God is leading his people out from abominations of the world, from the abominations of the world, that they may keep his law. And because of this, the rage of the accuser of our brethren knows no bounds. The devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time, Revelation 12, 10 and 12. Listen to this. The antitypical or antitypical day, land of promise, excuse me, I'll read again. The antitypical land of promise is just before us. What is the antitypical land of promise? That's heaven, okay? Type and antitype. It is just before us. And Satan is determined to destroy the people of God and cut them off from their inheritance. The admonition, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation, Mark 14:38, was never more needed than now. The word of the Lord to ancient Israel is addressed also to his people in this age. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. For all, not some, but all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Leviticus 19:31 and Deuteronomy 18, verse 12. My friends, my brothers and sisters, did you just understand? Did you get what I read? Did you get this? It was through the agency of evil spirits that strange gods were introduced, gods that they did not know. And Moses even told them the same thing. He said, you have gone after these gods that you don't know, new gods, and they're not the God that brought you in this land. Why in the world are you following them? And you know what happened to them. They were destroyed. They were taken out of the land of promise. Brothers and sisters, God is trying to warn you and I today, be very careful, because the same thing is going to happen. Yay, I'm sorry to say, it has already happened. Now I'm going to let you listen to something. You tell me if this isn't a fulfillment of that word. The first one I'm going to let you listen to is a sermon that was preached in Loma Linda by a minister, by the pastor. The title of the message was Stained Glass Mothers. Okay? At the Campus Hill Seventh Adventist Church in Loma Linda. Oops, lost the power cord here. You know, this is a cassette tape. Anybody know how to use a cassette tape player? I was lucky to find this at a secondhand store, and I have probably hundreds of cassette tapes I want to transfer them one day. But this is the date on this is May 11th, 1985. This is a critical year, okay? You got to understand the time sequence. That's why I'm emphasizing this. This is very important to know the time, because after this, all the floodgates of spiritualism just swept through the church like crazy. And if you watch the video that I have that I told you about, it's called The Alchemist, which in church is two parts. You will see, I will show you chronologically how all this stuff started coming in after this sermon was given. Okay, and I want to tell you something right now. I do not charge for them. So if you're thinking, well, I'd like to get them, but I don't have any money, I didn't ask you for any money. All I want you to do is say you want it, but you have to promise that you will watch it and you'll share it. And if you're not going to do that, then don't ask for them. But if you get them and you don't like it, then you promise me you'll send them back to me. Okay, that's the only condition that I have. You say, well, brother, why are you giving away for free? Because the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. You're not supposed to sell the gospel. I'm not like these other guys who want to charge you with pity for everything they do. I don't believe in that. God gave it to me freely. Freely I've received, freely give, he says. I'll pay the price for it, and it's expensive now. I used to be able to send this stuff out for like $1.80-something. Now it's $5 and something to send them. And I used to send the big cassette, you know, big VHS tapes. I should send six of those in a package. And it only cost me like $2 and something. If I send that now, it costs me $10, $12, or maybe more. But the disc only is like $5. Plus, I have to buy the envelope. That's another $2 and something. And then, of course, the sleeves are put in, plus I have to buy the disc and all like that. By the time you add it to the cost, and I'm just telling you this just so you'll know, it's not cheap. So when someone gives it to you, you know, I'm not pawning off something cheap or anything like that. It costs money. And so if you ask for it, do the right thing, listen to it, and if you don't want to, then first of all, don't ask for it or send it back to me, okay, so I can give it to someone else. And I have shared this with people. And that one lady, and Sister Ruthie, I heard you. God bless. Good to hear you. I heard one lady told me not too long ago that she was not an Adventist. She was in the world. And the lady she was caregiving for, she was a personal caregiver, said, I got some tapes I want you to hear. It's really interesting. You will like it. She said, what are they? She said, oh, you have to listen to it and see. So she listened to the first tape. She said, oh, my goodness, I've never heard anything like this. Can I listen to the rest? She said, well, I'll give you one at a time. She said, no, I want them all right now. So she took them all. She listened to them. And that lady, she became a Seventh-day Adventist. She went and told her entire family. She told the lady, can I get a copy of those tapes? She said, yeah, I'll get a set for you. She took them to her family, and the whole family became Seventh-day Adventists. Mother, father, cousins, aunts, uncles, nephews, nieces, all of them. All of them. And she told me, she was talking to me one day, and she said, do you know how I came across the truth? I said, no, I have no idea. I had met this lady one time, her and her sister. She said, it was you. Sister, I've never met you. I've never seen you. I don't know about you. She said, oh, no, I have some tape that you made. You were speaking in Maine, state of Maine. I said, state of Maine? That was a long time ago. There were no tapes. She said, oh, yes, there were. And so she sent me a picture of them. She put them on a table, and there they were, my name on there. I said, I've never seen those before. She said, you don't have these? I said, no, I've never seen them. I didn't even know they existed. She said, well, this is what the Lord put in front of me, and that's how come I'm an Adventist today. She has a ministry she started now online. It's called the Body Temple. Body Temple. It's on Facebook. Look it up. Body Temple. And, so all I'm saying is, and I know Sister Ruthie's on the call. She told me she'd watched them, and it was a blessing for her. And I've had people all over the world. It's been translated into several languages around the world, okay? And I praise God for that, friends. I praise God for that. And I just want to open it to you that you can get them if you want so that you can see the things I'm going to show you because you have to see it to really get the impact. But let me play this tape because our time is going, and I want to be done in the next 15 minutes or less. So I'm going to play this one, and this is what you're going to hear now is the pastor, he's preaching a sermon. This is a Mother's Day, quote-unquote, Sabbath. There's no such thing. Somehow or another, people are waving magic wands and saying Sabbaths are now for special events like Pathfinder initiations and stuff like that, and Father's Day Sabbath, Mother's Day Sabbath, Pastor Appreciation Day Sabbath, Pastor Anniversary Sabbath, all kinds of different kinds of Sabbath, except for the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. For somehow or another, God got kicked out. Lord, you're not a part of this anymore. We're going to do our own thing. And that's what Nehemiah had to bring before him and say, what are you doing? This is wrong. Don't you realize because what you're doing is why we were scattered to Babylon and you're doing the same thing your fathers did? This is why Ellen White said there's a need for Sabbath reform. And the people who are going to give the last day message, she says they will go out and preach the Sabbath more fully. Are you willing to do that? What does it take? What will you need to do? What do you need to understand? Listen to this message. He's given his sermon. Now he's going to say a prayer. In his sermon, just give you a quick synopsis, he is talking about the significance of motherhood and how mothers are nurturing and loving and kind and compassionate and understanding and all these things. And he says, he poses a question. He said, don't you think God is like that? He says, so maybe God does have some female attributes. So I wonder if God wouldn't mind if we addressed him a different way. Listen to what he says.
Father, Mother, God.
Did you hear that? He said, shall we pray? Our Father, Mother, God. I asked you a simple question, and you probably already rolled it through your mind. Since when are we supposed to address God as a mother? Since when? When the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray, what did he say? When you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. Then nothing about a mother. I want you to understand where this is taking place. This is in an Adventist church. When he said that, you have to understand what was taking place a few years in the secular world before this took place. In the San Francisco Chronicle newspaper, there was an article in there talking about goddess worship in the 1980s. I have the article. If you get my tape, my CD, you'll see it. And I show you the three steps that the witches say they're going to take to get people to worship the mother goddess again, to get rid of the patrimonial thing and get back to the matriarchal God who's a real creator, which is the teaching of witchcraft, friend. See, most people don't know what the feminist movement really was. It was witchcraft. That's what it's all about. But you know what? God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And if you want to know why there's this big movement in churches today to have women ordained and women elders and women pastors and all that kind of stuff, that is a movement of spiritualism. It is witchcraft. I'm plain and simple. I'm going to make it real. I'm not going to hide it. I don't care what anybody says. I can prove it. The problem with people who disagree with me, they cannot disprove it. Instead, they argue and say, you're just being biased. You're just being, chauvinistic and all that kind of stuff. I say, wait. I'm quoting to you from what they say, not what I think. And I don't care what you think, because what you think, you don't know what you're talking about. This is what they say. They laid it out for you. Time Magazine talked about it. Consciousness magazines talk about it. There's so many books that you can go to Barnes and Noble and those places where they talk about it. They tell you. The witches tell, they don't hide it. They say, yeah, we're going to take over Christianity. We're going to get people to worship the mother goddess. This is a reality. A strange god has been introduced. Now, from that, it goes forward. Nobody complained when he said that. Nobody challenged him. Nobody said, brother, what are you doing? Wait a minute. Somebody should have stood up and said, no. Who are you praying to? No, they just kept their heads bowed and eyes closed and sucked it up because, you know what, he preached a wonderful sermon that made everybody feel so good inside. They didn't realize they were hypnotized. They didn't get it. So they fell for it. And so now a new God has been introduced, and that thing is going to keep them from entering God's kingdom. The devil is slick. All right, now, so you heard that. Now, for those of you that maybe didn't catch it, you say, Terry, I didn't catch it. I'm going to play it again. Listen to what he says. I'm going to play it one more time.
Now come into our lives.
Did you hear that? You heard it that time, I know, because I turned the volume up to make sure you hear it. And he asked this being to come into the lives. What is that called when you have a being that has both sexes? That's called a hermaphrodite. That is an anomaly. That is a perversion of nature. It is not natural for a being to have both sexes within itself, unless there's some kind of amoeba or something like that, which they say they do. And I don't even think I really believe these people when they say that. But for God himself who made a man first and then the female separate, why in the world? Well, if he was like that, then would you think he would have made Adam with both sexes in himself so he don't have to be with anybody else? He could recreate without having to be with anybody else because he made man in his image after his likeness. He made man, okay, and humans, and he made Eve. But the fact of the matter is Jesus tells us plainly to call him our Father, period. And when all the prophets that did see God the Father, they likened unto him as an older man. They called him the Ancient of Days, and they always referred to him as he. All throughout the scriptures, God is referred to as he, period. Friends, this is a new God being introduced. We just read in Patriarchs and Prophets by the introduction of these strange gods, because they were prophesied against the Lord, the strange gods we're introduced. Now, I want to let you hear something. Now, since I told you that that would be the beginning of the invasion of spiritualism, it actually started with Kellogg way back in his time, but it began to really surface at the time when that man preached. Now, the next name I want you to listen to is just a few months later, okay? And this, what you're getting right here now, is at Loma Linda University campus church, okay? The first one was at the, it was same church, Campus Hill Church. Now, this next one, the speaker is a man named Lou Tice. And Lou Tice was, I don't know if he still is or not, because it's been a long time. He might be dead by now. Or if he isn't, he's old. He was the head of Pacific Institute. What is Pacific Institute? Pacific Institute was one of the leading companies, organizations, whatever, to teach neuro-linguistic programming. Neuro-linguistic programming is a highly sophisticated form of hypnosis, okay? And it's done by casual conversations. While they're talking to you, they are hypnotizing you, and you don't know it because they don't say, look at the clock or look at this and, you know, are you feeling sleepy? No, they're talking to you. They do what they call mirroring and a bunch of other stuff. I'm not going to go into it. But there's a process where they take you deeper and deeper into hypnosis by just talking to you, okay? It's very subtle. People don't even know what's going on, all right? And the title of his message was New Age Thinking. That's what it was called. Now, what is New Age Thinking? Well, Sister Ruthie can tell you because she knows all about it. But maybe during the question and answer period, you can ask her and she can tell you. But let me just give you a quick definition from Newsweek magazine. Newsweek magazine said, New Age thinking is a loosely linked form of spiritualism that is gaining ground on both coasts. It's in the East and West Coast. It's called New Age thinking. It is spiritualism. They say it right there in Newsweek magazine. It is spiritualism. Lou Tice came to speak there, and his title was New Age Thinking. At the same time that this man spoke at Loma Linda, at the big church there in Loma Linda, where all the doctors and all the, you know, the really heavy duty big money guys go, at the hospital there, they had a continuing educational credit offering for nurses and other professionals called New Age Thinking for Achieving Your Potential or Improving Your Potential, something like that. I have the flyer in my file here, and you can see it if you get the video that I told you about. All the stuff I'm telling you, documentation, will be there. You can see it. So, you know, I'm not making this stuff up. I was there when this man spoke, okay? I was outside protesting and telling people, don't go and listen to him. Don't go in there. If you do, you're going to be hypnotized. This man is of the devil. Don't go in there. The campus called their security on me and about, there was like five or six other people. We were standing on the sidewalk. We didn't impede anybody. We didn't stop anybody. We just said, hey, have you heard about what's going on? We had a little flyer to give them and said, don't go in there. And, brother, you know, there's no problem, brother. You know, if he was a problem, they wouldn't have invited him. He's okay, you know, elders approved and all like that. I said, that doesn't mean anything just because they approved it. That doesn't mean anything. I'm telling you what he believes. This is what he does. This is what he's all about. Friends, you know what happened? They called campus security, and campus security came out, you know, and they had cars. They looked like police cars. They got the rack in them and everything. They got the cage thing in the back, and they had canine dogs, you know, the kind of dogs that will bite you if they tell them to. They have those at Loma Linda. And they have what, guns? They were, as they say in the hood, they were strapped. This is an Adventist institution. And they came out there and said, what are you doing here? Get out of here, and blah, blah. I said, sir, we don't have to leave. We're on public property. The sidewalk is public property. We have every right to be here, and you know that. Don't try to intimidate anybody like that. You know that's wrong. You can't do that. I can do whatever I want to. I said, sir, if you want a lawsuit, go right ahead. Then immediately he shot. You see, you got to know the law, friends. You got to know the law. And I said it respectfully, sir. I kept calling him sir, you know. And I said, all we're doing is letting people know what this man is about. That's all we're doing. We're not telling people, hey, you know, just blocking them or anything like that. We're not, hey, get back. I said, we just hand it to them. They can accept it or reject it, and that's it. He said, well, you need to leave. And I said, well, we're not leaving. And he, you know, they went, there was like probably two or three cars. I can't remember. I know it was more than one. I think it was two or three. And, you know, they were riding too deep. And again, these guys had guns on their hips, and they had, you know, rifles in the car. This is Loma Linda security, campus security. I understand why they probably have it, but, you know, this is in front of a church. Now, I'm going to play for you what this man said. After he gave his talk, and here's what he did. Let me tell you how NLP works. They tell you a string of stories. Each story they tell you takes you deeper into the hypnotic trance. It's done on purpose. Because each story they tell you breaks down your resistance to the hypnotic process. It is a very clever thing. It's amazing. I hate to say this, but it is amazing how it works. And you know, hypnosis, as Sister White plainly states, is the power of Satan. That's what he used on Eve in the Garden of Eden. Did you know that? He hypnotized her. And what was he doing? He was just talking to her. Casual conversation. And that's what NLP does. They're doing the same thing the devil did. So he's talking about how you can improve your potential and all this kind of stuff. He's telling stories about his family and other things. And people are like, they're laughing. They think it's so funny. And they don't realize he's hypnotizing them. And there's certain hand gestures they do. They walk across the stage a certain way. They stand a certain way. They do these facial expressions. And they get you. And then at the end, at the beginning, he says, I'm going to do something special for you. Okay, I'm going to do something special for you before I leave here today. And now I'm going to get to the part where he's going to do what he promised him he would do. Now, it's kind of fuzzy, but I'm going to play it anyway, and then I'm going to play it again. It's short. It's not very long. And then I'm going to say what he said in case you don't catch it. Okay, I'm just going to repeat what he said, and I'm going to repeat it exactly what he says. Okay, listen to this. Sorry about that. Keep forgetting I turned over.
If I don't,
okay, he's going to see me.
That was, I promised you, my final act. And you've all seen me, and you've seen me on TV, you've seen me go out about the moon. And they would. Most of you are still doubt that you don't know. Our best of it being given to me. But I didn't. I declare most of you with us. Go.
That's the applause. Yeah, this is in the church. Okay. Oh, no, it cut me off again. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. It wasn't clear, so you can translate what he said. We can hear you. Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. I didn't think it would come through very clearly.
Okay,
friends, what he said was this. He said, and now what I promised you, he says, and this is my final act, what I promised you, he says, and I do have the power to do it. He said, and they know I do, or they wouldn't have me here. And people sort of laugh a little bit. And he says, and now, by the power invested in me, by me, which I have done, I now declare you associate wizards, go act like it. And then all this happened. This man told them plainly that he is a wizard. And now he has made them his associate wizards. New age thinking, spiritualism, according to Newsweek magazine. This is at Loma Linda. And at the same time, at the hospital, they offered New Age thinking workshops for the nurses and doctors and other professionals there. What is New Age thinking, according to Newsweek magazine? It is spiritualism. And they were taking this as, quote-unquote, continuing education units to maintain their licensure. Witchcraft, spiritualism. Some people don't understand how significant this is. They don't understand how serious this is and how evil and how dark it is. But they will, only when it's too late. If they don't pay attention now, it'll be too late, very soon. We are told that this kind of stuff would happen just before the close of probation, and it's happening now. This was in 1985. You say, well, brother, all this time has gone by, nothing's happened. Oh, you are so wrong. You are so wrong. You have no idea, because this is what happened. After this, all of a sudden, you know what happened in the Advent Review and other articles, especially with that magazine? Not Review. Yes, Review. They had an article come out talking about, and this was the front lead article. It said, does God really want to be called Father? Does God really want to be called Father? Now, what did Jesus tell the disciples? Our Father, which art in heaven. Why are you questioning that? Because at the same time is when the witches were telling everybody, stop calling him Father. God is a woman. And there was a competition at Andrews University, poetry. One of the students wrote a poem that won first place on the entire campus. And you know what he said in there? He said, he was talking about, you know, praying to God and everything. He says, and when I pray to her, she will hear my prayer. And this won first place at Andrews University. And it doesn't surprise me that after that happened, then all of a sudden you had this thing coming out called Breathe Free. Now, how many of you ever heard of Breathe Free? You might know it as a 5-day plan to stop smoking. Remember that? That Adventist Church used to have. It was very successful. People would quit smoking within 5 days. 5 days. Boom, they were done. It was successful. You know why? Because the power of God was exercised there. It was a truly spiritual experience, and God worked through that program. But you know what happened? They started adopting the worldly way of doing things, and they changed it. They changed it to a new thing called Breathe Free. And a brother wrote to me from Washington State, and I was living in California, my home state at the time. He said, Brother Cherry, could you please look at this and tell me what you think is in it that's wrong? Because, excuse me, he says, people are not getting the victory over smoking like they used to under the 5-day plan. For some strange reason, it's just not working. I said, well, brother, okay. And when he sent it to me, I said, oh, my goodness, it's too much stuff. So for a couple of months, I didn't look at it. And one day he wrote me, he said, brother, could you please? In fact, he called me. He said, could you please look at it? There's something wrong. I said, all right, man, I'll take a look. I'll take a look. I didn't get past 2 pages. And I put it down and said, my goodness, this thing is full of witchcraft. It's full of it. And so I wrote him back. I said, brother, you need to tell people don't touch this stuff. This is satanic. Well, what is in it? I said, I'll have to go through the whole thing, but the first 2 pages already tell you. It's right there. It's right there in front of your face. But the problem is people don't read. They don't study. They don't know. That's why God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. It's not because it's not available. It's because people don't want to know. They don't want to know. You know why? Because to have the knowledge means there's responsibility that comes with it. You see, when you don't know the truth, God's not going to hold you accountable. Once you know, then you're held accountable. And some people say, I'd rather not know because I don't want to have to be responsible for that. Well, you know what? When you took your baptismal vow, you said that you would stand for Jesus. And so if you reject what he tries to give you to do his will, you are turning your back on him, and you will be condemned. May God help us all never to do that. May God help us. All right, friends. I'm going to wrap this up, because I see our time is almost up already. Whew, this went long. I was not planning on speaking that long. But that's just a little bit. Oh, I got to tell you this last part. I have to tell you this last part. The NLP part, which is the neuro-linguistic programming, they came out with a thing in the mid-'80s called the Caring Church. Or was it the 90s? It was called the Caring Church Program. This is in the 90s, I'm sorry. The Caring Church Program had what they call Lab 1 and Lab 2. And this is all documented. I have the documents. You'll see it. You watch the video. I will show you the documents. You can see it yourself. This program was designed to train the pastors to go into people's homes and to teach people in the church how to reach the backslidden people, okay, the people who stopped coming to church. But the problem with it is it uses NLP to do it. So the people aren't really coming because they've been converted. They're coming because they've been hypnotized. Are you following me? Okay. It's called Lab 1 and Lab 2. The first one is not that bad. Lab 2 is the one that you really get deep into it. And so what they did is a North American division required every pastor in the North American division had to take this training. They had to. It was contingent on their continued employment. They had to take this hypnotic training in hypnosis, how to hypnotize people. And one of the leading men involved in it said that it was necessary and that this is what he said. This is important to use. He says, do it on Sabbath because that's when you have the people vulnerable and you can do whatever you want to them. If we got them, do it on Sabbath. That's why I tell people today, the most dangerous place you can be on a Sabbath is in a church that has a pastor who's taken that training because you're being hypnotized and you don't even know it. You want to know why people are so docile in church? They used to, remember the old sisters used to get up and say, Pastor, that's not right, Pastor. You need to sit down. That's not right. Thus saith the Lord. And they would quote the scripture right there in front of the pastor. Nope, that's not right, brother. The word of God says this. Thus saith the Lord. I remember my home church, this one sister, Sister Green, she would tell that pastor to his face, you're wrong. Thus saith the Lord. She put her Bible up and she would get the quote in the scripture. And he would say, I'm sorry, sister. I misquoted that. She said, yes, you did. And she would sit down. Nobody got mad at her because that sister knew the word. And that's what you're supposed to do. If somebody's teaching error, you got to speak up. But nowadays, oh, it's not politically correct to do that. Oh, boy, I tell you, it's sad. What is our safeguard against this stuff? What is our safeguard? Volume 4 of Spirit of Prophecy, chapter 32, the Scriptures of Safeguard, page 411. It says this. Those who endeavor to obey all the commandments of God will be opposed and derided. Their way will be made very hard. They can stand only in God. In order to endure the trial before them, they must understand the will of God as revealed in His Word. They can honor Him only as they have a right conception of His character, government, and purposes, and act in accordance with them. None but those who have trained the intellect to grasp the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. It's not NLP. It's not anything else. You must know, thus saith the Lord. And friends, in the chapter entitled The Final Warning, or the loud cry in Volume 4 of Spirit of Prophecy is called the loud cry, it tells us that the announcement of the fall of Babylon, which is given in Revelation 18, is a repeat of the second angel of Revelation 14, but it contains the warnings about the condition of the religious world. See, not the world, it's the religious world. And it says right here on page 422, it says, as the teachings of spiritualism are accepted by the churches, that's plural, and none left out, quote, and I'm reading on, no real restraint is imposed upon the carnal heart, and the profession of religion becomes a cloak to conceal the basest iniquity. A belief in spiritual manifestations opens the door to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The influence of evil angels is felt in the churches throughout the land. You heard two men begin a church, evil influence, evil angels, speaking to those people. That's 1985, and it's gotten much worse since then. Much worse. You would be surprised. If I could sit here and show you everything, but I can't. I'm going to stop now. But I want to encourage you. You have my address. I gave it to you last time. If not, maybe Sister Carla can give it to you again. Or just text me. Just say, Brother Cherry, could you please send me those deals? I'll be happy to run off a set for you. And in fact, I'll send you all six of them because it's a series. And you need to watch one all the way through in order to get the full impact of what you're going to see in the last two. The last two, The Alchemist, are only for Seventh-day Adventists to watch. I mean, other people can watch it, but they won't get it. It's relevant to our understanding of things. And so I would not suggest you go say, oh, I'm going to show my neighbor next door, because they're going to like, what does that got to do with me? I'm not in your church, okay? Although what's happening is in every church. Spiritualism is in every religion. It's everywhere, okay? And that's what it is. So, friends, we must study the Word of God. We must cling to Jesus. Our only hope is in Him. Even as the children of Israel, when they left off following God, they have no other direction than to go with the devil, with Satan. Let that not be our case. Let us not allow the devil to take away from you your inheritance. Do you know that God has a wonderful place ready for you in His kingdom? In heaven, it's yours. When you accepted Jesus, you automatically became an heir, a joint heir with Him. You have an inheritance, friends, a richness that we have no imagination of how great it is. Absolutely none. To sit on His throne. Do you understand what that means? To sit on a throne with God? To wear a crown, which symbolizes royalty? Do you understand what that means? We think so small. We don't get it. You are ruling the universe with God. The universe. Not some little planet, little mud ball that's floating in space. The entire universe. That is the inheritance of God's people. And don't you think that He would miss you if you're not there? Yes, He will. May God help us. Father in heaven, thank you for this time. And I pray that our eyes have been opened, hearts have been touched, understanding is clear, that we have a great mission, Lord. And it starts with each one of us on our knees, confessing our sins, asking for forgiveness, asking for true repentance, reformation, and revival so that we can do our Father's will. Lord, I pray that no one will go to sleep tonight in fear, but rather with rejoicing that we have a chance to know what is really happening and what we should be doing at this time. So it will be clear in everyone's mind. Please bless your people all around the world who have worshipped you already on your Sabbath and those who are still entering into the Sabbath now, because in the West Coast, sun hasn't set yet. So I ask for a blessing for everyone. Thank you so much, Father, for carrying us through this past week, and pray that we have a blessing as we worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, open our mouths that we will speak the truth in love, because we love you first, and we need to love our brothers and sisters as well. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Cherry, for to unlearn and so much to learn. But may the Lord help us. If there's any quick comments or questions, please press 1. Brother Cherry, is this CD form or is it tape form that you're giving out?
It's CD.
Oh, CD. So CD. Not DVD, but CD. They can play it on their CD.
Yeah, you can. Yes.
Or in the car.
A CD thing, but it is video. It has video, but if you just have a CD player, it'll just play the sound.
Oh, okay. I understand. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, one sister already told me she wants it. So Sunday or Monday, I'll get everything, the address and stuff for her, for you to send it to her. Amen.
Okay.
Thank you again for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, brothers and sisters, if you have comment or question, please press 1 so that I can open your line. I saw Brother Brother O'Neill had pressed 1, but I guess not. No, I don't think he pressed 1. So If there's no comments or questions, I think we're going to – okay, yes, let me open his line. 631-552, did you have a comment or question?
Good night, Elvis.
No.
Good night, hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, we're here.
There was so much going on. I pressed 1, and I pressed 1 again, and I pressed 1 again, off and on, off and on. And then I was mute. Happy Sabbath, Brother Cherry. Oh, truly.
Happy Sabbath. Brother.
I discovered Happy Sabbath. I accepted and submitted and sent this message in 2004. I was baptized in 2005, March 2005. Mm-hmm. And when I came to church the first Sabbath, they asked me, what did you to church? I told them, Jesus. She said, what? Nobody invited you? I said, no. I studied the Bible, and it speaks about the Sabbath and all the principles of the Sabbath.
Mm.
And I remember all the tapes that I usually listen to, all the tapes that I usually listen to, like the rap music and all those, reggae music and all those stuff. I trashed them. I burned them. People asked me, when I was accepting the message, they told me, what about those tapes that you usually play and all these things? I said, can you give it to me? I said, if I give garbage to you, what good it do for you? Tell me. I'm not giving it to you. I'm burning them, and I burned them. Three years later, as I was in the church, I was discovering a lot of stuff was going on, and I was one of the representatives of going to personal as personal ministry leader in 2005. Mm-hmm. As I accept the message, baptized in 2005, I got many leadership positions in the church. I had four leadership positions, in which one I was youth director, was also personal ministry leader, assistant, treasurer, and another position. And as I was representing the church, my church, the county, I'm keeping it in the bush. Central Jamaica Conference. I was the representative for my church going to the camp meeting, annual camp meeting. And I went to the camp meeting year after year. But 2008 was the telling one. In 2008, what you just mentioned, it happened right there. In 2008, the person that they invited to come and to teach, one of our lay preacher institute, meeting was somebody that studies spiritualism. He was teaching linguistic programming, and I refused, and many other refused to stay. And we said, we're not coming. We're not going into that session. He was giving all the spiritual formation. He was teaching. I was hearing inside of him. So I said to many of the people, are you going to sit here with this man teaching spiritual formation? And I went back and I told them, and I even contacted them and told them, why you invited somebody to come to us who is a spiritualist in our thing? Yeah, it was an eye-opener at that point. I was young in the church. All my tapes I destroyed. And all these things I'm seeing in front of my very eyes. And I told a brother about what was going on. And we started studying. We started looking at all from like, and we started giving out all the tapes from Walter White, Battles of Bibles, the Total Onslaught series. I was giving that all over to people. I was printing stuff about spiritualism and all those stuff and just giving it to people. So I was printing stuff. I just got baptized. I was printing stuff, giving to people. But I want to us to understand that Sister White's book, in Selected Message, book 1, from page 200 to 208, read it for yourself. That book, read it for yourself. First Selected Message, page 200 to 208. Selah was mentioning part of that too. It said books of a new order.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? our message will be changed. But I want us to understand that something significantly happened as well. In our quarterlies, what has been mentioned in our quarterlies, the NIV. I want to just read something to you about the NIV. In contrast, I want to read something. I'm going to read a scripture, and I'm going to show you the heresy that the devil put in this book. I have a book about speak about the New Age Bibles. She's a professor of a university, and somebody came to her and spoke to her about when they read the NIV Bible, it messed up their mind. And they said she's going to do research, and she did a research on all the Bibles. All of those that she researched, except the KJV, the King James Version Bible, is corrupted. Totally corrupted. Yes, but in their quarterly, what they're doing in their quarterly, NIV, the new King James Version. I'm going to quote some from it. I don't know.
Hello?
Yes, Brother O'Neill, you're breaking up, Brother O'Neill.
Hello?
Are you in? A little louder. Yeah. Yes, now. Sorry, you're still going in and out, Brother O'Neill. You're going in and out.
You hear me now? Much better?
Yes, now we can. And the line might drop, so you have to be quick, please.
Yeah, it says here, schools. Yep, the Alexandra. Yeah, they have the ordinary reading of the scriptures, spiritualized using metaphysical approach, fueled by vain desire to move beyond the physical toward ideas of spiritual things. Work from 50 manuscripts that didn't agree with one another, doubted Jesus' deity and miracles. Filio and Origen mostly responsible. The origin of systematic theology. And the next one is Antioch, which is the King James Bible came from. It says here, literal reading, historical facts, stress on grammatical and historical literal approach. Faithful to concrete realities and factual historicity grounded in God's view as it is written. Work from 5,000 received text manuscripts that were by in agreement believed Jesus' deity and miracle were filled by Paul. So we see two doctrines, two Bibles there, the Alexandra, which the NIV and all modern versions come from. All modern versions come from the Alexandria, but the KJV come from Antioch, and it speaks about the literal things that God wants. So it says the Alexandria speaks of metaphysics. What is metaphysics? In other words, a branch of philosophy that examines the nature of reality, including relationship between mind and matter, substance and attribute, possibility and actuality. That is what metaphysics is all about. So I want us to understand that what Brother Cher in us tonight is of vast importance. Please, it's of vast importance. The enemy uses one of his famous weapons, is deception. And it is rampant. All of what we see going on now, he has stolen a march on the church. But we have to understand that God has a people. And I'm going to read this quote as I stop. In Great Controversy, page 38, he says, in every generation, God has sent his servant to rebuke sin, both in the world and in the church. But listen this carefully. I want you to listen this carefully. I want you to listen this carefully. But the people desire smooth things spoken to them. What? When you sit down and listen to those things in the church, what Brother Cherry shared with you, and you sit down and you do not protest against it, what are you doing? the people desire what? Smooth things spoken to them. Prophesy. You want to read it for yourself? Prophesy unto us smooth things and cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from us. Isaiah 29. Read it for yourself. What the people says? Prophesy unto us what? Smooth things spoken to them, and the pure unvarnished truth is not accepted. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11. Have no fellowship with unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove them.
Amen.
I'm telling you, this serious thing happening, brothers and sisters, and it's time for protesters, people to stand on the firm foundation, which is the word of God. It is terrible, and it is getting worse. It is getting really worse.
Mercy. Thank
Amen.
You, Brother
Amen,
O'Neill,
brother.
For sharing. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Okay.
Amen.
I see no one else has raised their hand. So we're going to go ahead and close. Again, have a good night, brothers and sisters. May you read all. I hope you took down those Spirit of Prophecy reading, Patriots and Prophets, and Volume 5 of the Testimony and the Spirit of Prophecy pages and numbers, so you can read them and share it with others. Because what we learn is not only for ourselves, but for us to share with others so that they can receive a blessing, so that they can learn the truth, and, you know, that they can cry aloud and fear not, because we are in a time of deception. And, you know, if we're not careful, we will be deceived. So may the Lord help us. So let us close with a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, again, I thank you for each and every brothers and sisters on this line. I thank you for Brother Cherry, the presenter. May you continue to bless him with truth. May he continue to share and be steadfast and not be ashamed of the gospel. And may we be diligent to learn and to study ourselves and be like the Bereans. Lord, there's so much to learn and so much to unlearn. Help us, O Lord, to gain wisdom and knowledge which cometh from you, true wisdom and knowledge. Bless us, give us a good night rest, and help us to wake up tomorrow to give you praise, glory, and honor. And we thank you for the Sabbath day of rest, to come apart from our busy lifestyle, to study at your feet, and to be encouraged and to encourage others. We ask that you will bless us again, bless our children, our family, and our friends. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good night, brothers and sisters.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed.